I don't know about y'all. Can y'all hear me all right out there? All right. I said, I don't know about y'all, but I sure am glad that I didn't have to suffer everything that Jesus had to go through, but I'm thankful that I've been to Calvary, that I've seen His nail-scarred hands, because I know what Jesus done for me, and I know what He can do for you. But y'all, as I was praying, and I want to first thank the church for my family, for Jason and Kim and Jonathan and just my whole family. Thankful for your prayers, cards, flowers, come the visits, just everything for and the loss of my grandmother. I'm gonna be honest with you. I shared Wednesday night. That was one of the toughest things I've ever done or had to do is preach her funeral. So with that, I shared being obedient and doing what God asked me to do. One of my family members received salvation. And it's nothing I'd done. God just used that time. That was a divine appointment in time for God for that to happen. But through that and the obedience that I showed, I got some blessings. I'm going to tell you, when we left Thursday night and we went to the beach and stayed for the weekend, and let me tell you, I've never had a three-day weekend last as long as that did and be refreshed the way I was refreshed. And I thank God for that. But I want to, during that time, God spoke to me a million different times and gave me so many illustrations that y'all going to get tired of hearing about the beach. But just get ready, because it's God, He's blessed me and He spoke to me through this. So if you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. And we're going to talk about a very familiar scripture. I've preached on this a couple of times in different ways. So if you get to John chapter 4, and I know we sat down and stood a couple of times, but I'm going to ask you, in reverence of reading of God's Word, if you will, please stand with me. We're going to read four verses, and then we're going to skip over to a few more that I want to touch on today. John 4, chapter 4, verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou... From whence hast thou that living water? Let me stop right there. Listen, the devil don't want us to hear this scripture today. He wants to get your mind on something else. So draw your minds back in and let's think about it. Jesus said, hey, if you knew who you was, who was standing in front of you, you'd ask for some living water. And she said, sir, you ain't got nothing to draw from and the well's deep. So what's this you talking about? Verse number 12, art thou greater than the father Jacob, which gave to us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drink of this water shall never thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him shall be in him the well of water springing up into everlasting life. Stop right there. Look in verse number 20. You got to turn the page, turn over there. And it says, she said, Our fathers worshipped in these mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now it is, when the true worshipers, listen now, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ, when He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, am He. He said, I am that man. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just want to thank you for the comforter you send with us to comfort us in the time of need. But dear God, I'm thankful for when we worship, Lord, we can worship in spirit and truth. Dear God, I ask you right now to hide us behind the cross. Well, hide me behind the cross that your words may flow freely. Lord, make me a vessel for you. Lord, I don't want to stand up here and just say vain words, Lord, that has no meaning, dear God. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would empty me of self and fill me with you. Dear God, I pray right now that everybody within the sound of my voice, Lord, will clear their minds, clear their thoughts, and Lord, be receptive to your Holy Spirit. Dear God, that you may change us. Lord, that you may move in a mighty way in this place, dear God, that we may see the true God, Lord, that you would need us to see, God. And I just pray right now, Lord, for someone who in here is hurting, dear Lord. Lord, for someone here needs a touch of heaven, I pray right now that today is the day. Lord, in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, y'all, I don't know about y'all, but if you know this story, it says Jesus came to the well because he was weary, he was tired, and that fact just shows us that Jesus Christ was a man. Now, you know, Jesus was 100% man and he was 100% God. Look, he was God, man, walking on this earth. You say, how can that be? It can only be by Jesus. So he knows exactly what tired feels like. So many times I walk through those doors or those doors or see many of this congregation, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm tired. I'm tired. If you've been tired this week, raise your hand. A to the men. Me too. Work, we let work, we let obligations, we let church things, we let all these things get us tired. But you know what? Jesus knows how you feel. He's been there. So anything you can feel on this earth, Jesus Christ has felt that way. He knows the tip. We're talking about a Father who has come and felt what we can feel. He knows how it feels when you stump your toe in the middle of the night on a bedpost. He knows. He knows when you're dog tired. And listen, but I want to show you this. When Jesus was tired, he was weary, but he was still ready to serve God. So many times when we get tired, that person that we've been waiting on shows up in our life to get a witness. Can you be that witness when you're tired? Because Jesus gave us a prime example that when we're tired, how to be a witness. And this woman that come up, see, she needed some help. She come for water. But she was fixing to get help from above. See, and when you say, and I hope and pray somebody in this place today came because, hey, I want my kids to go to children's church and learn. I hope you came for one reason, and you might be struggling with some things in your life, but God knows that. He's felt it. He knows what you're here for, and in turn, you get blessed for something else and you get healed. Amen? Because, see, she came for some water. For some physical water. But she lived a troubled life. She had five husbands. She had five husbands. And the man she's living with now is not her husband. So that tells me, in my mind, she was seeking her meaning in life in men. You know, she was trying to find what she needed in life from a man, and when she couldn't find it, she'd go get another one. How many times in life have we in here done that with some of you may have done it with a man or with women, but some of you may have done it with jobs. Some of you may do it with cars, with houses. Some of you may do it with friends. You try to fill that void in your life that will never be filled with anything other than Jesus. Some of you do it with drugs. We're going to take this drug and it makes me feel good for a minute, but it's not exactly what I need, and it ain't filling that void. So you go try another drug, and then you go try another drug. Then by the time you do that, you still got that void, and now you've got an addiction that you can't handle. See, and addictions ain't just drugs. It may be a lot of other things. It may be working too much. It may be there's a ton of different things you can be addicted to. But we try to fill them voids. And see, she was in need of something. And y'all think it was just by coincidence? She met Jesus that day. See, he was sitting there. He could have went around, and I preached on this. He could have went around a nice, easier road, but he decided to go through Samaria. Jesus wasn't even supposed to be talking to this woman. But so many times, see, I want y'all to look at the words, because I get on my kids this a lot. If you turn over, look at verse number 16. Jesus said, "Go get thy husband and tell him to come here." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus, see, she played words there. Jesus knew she didn't have a husband. Because he goes on to tell her, "You said right when you said you didn't have a husband. But you've had five and you're living with somebody now." See, Jesus already knows our problem. He knows the situation. You can try to twist it and turn it with words. See, you can say, "Well, you know, I didn't eat one piece of cake." And that may be true. You eat three. You might say, "Yeah, I didn't eat one." And that's the truth. You eat three of them. Probably all at the same sitting. But what I'm saying is Jesus already knows. He's been there. She was just trying to cover up a little bit. Christians, don't we do that a lot? Don't we try to cover up a little bit? When we come to church, we try to put a stain that was on that tie. I could have tried to cover it up with that coat, but I knew that coat was coming off eventually. And the stain was going to be wherever. The Bible says your sins will be made known to man. So what you do in the dark will be made known in the light. So you better be careful what you're doing in the dark and what you're trying to do behind people's back, because God will make sure it is known. And if you're feeling kind of squirmy in the seat right now, husbands or wives, you better be still, because they're going to feel you moving. Hey, that's God. Amen. But you may be trying to cover stuff up. Let me tell y'all what. I was out in the water. Christy was sitting right there, and I was coming in. I was tired. The waves was beating me up. And I got a habit of just riding them waves in as far as it'd take me. And I stand on my hands, and then I just go far because I just want to feel the water because it's so hot. And you dig your fingers in the sand a little bit to help you pull. I dug my fingers in the sand, and I felt something. What's that? So I was going to pull it up. I thought it done bit the end of my finger off. Oh, clam, then poof. I'm like, whoa. See, it was covered up by the sand, and I didn't know it was there. See, so many times we try to cover up problems in the sand and we forget about them, but when they come back, they bite us. Amen? The Bible says it will be made known. Well, you can cover it up all you want. What you better do is come lay it on the cross and let God cover it with His blood. Because so many times in life, listen, you may have said something to somebody. Hey, I don't know what, but you said it. And then, hey, let's don't tell nobody. Before you know it, it's going to come out. People's going to know. Then it's going to bite the end of your finger off. You'll jump and be scared. Say, where did that come from? Oh, me. And I was going to try to dig it up, but I couldn't. I was like, See, there's another illustration that I watched for hours. See, this woman was just trying to live her life. She wasn't looking for nothing. That's the way a lot of people are in today's society. They just want to live the life. Hey, YOLO, right? You only live once. Do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy. I'm telling you, you better get in God's will. These two kids had to be brothers and sisters, because listen to what happened. They sit down, and I'm laying there just chilling out, and I watch him. This boy goes to digging. He's got him a perfect hole, and he gets the mud out of there. Y'all know how you can squeeze that wet sand, and it makes some pretty castles, and he made it all around. Next thing you know, a big wave comes, fills his hole back up with water that he just emptied out. He's like, ah. So what does he do? He goes back digging again. Gets all the water out. He starts building his castle again. The next thing you know, wave comes, fills it back up with water, tears everything down. I was like, goodness, son, why don't you get away from the water where the sand is going, where the water's going to tear everything down. Get away from that, because that water's coming. Why do we Christians do that sometimes? We try to dig it and build stuff in the world. In the world. And not in God's will, but outside of God's will in the world. And we wonder why the waves of this earth, this world, just keeps knocking us down. The sins just keep knocking us down. The people of the world keep knocking us down. It's because we're not doing exactly what God tells us to do. We're doing it somewhere else in sin. And we're trying to clean it up, make it look good, when them waves is just going to knock it down again. And then his sister got smart, and she got just a little bit back from the waves. It's going to get you right here. And had this big old pretty castle made. I mean, probably spent 2 hours on it. We was about ready to go in. And this is mean. That little boy come up and went, poof, kicked that sand. The castle was no more. Ain't that what the devil does sometimes when we build something? When we build something and we do it with our hands, we think it's all pretty nice and neat. And the devil comes, kicks the sand right out from up under us. But see, when God builds it, the devil ain't going to touch it, because he don't have authority over anything God's got his hands on. You hear me? So what I'm saying is, this woman, y'all, she was hurting. And I know there's some people in here that's going through some struggles and they're hurting today. She went in the sixth hour, the Bible says. People done got to water by then. She was going when nobody else was there, because she didn't want to be talked about. She didn't want to be picked on. She didn't want to be judged. And see, a lot of times in our life, we all dealing with that to some degree. Some of us are dealing with some battles in life that is devastating. Some of us is dealing with physical battles. A lot of us are dealing with emotional battles that is like depression, anxiety, just anger that we're holding on to. I don't know what. But she was at the right place. She was at the right place because she had the Savior in her eyes. But let me show you. I'm going to go back. She had the wrong focus. See, verse number 11, the woman said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." She was looking for his bucket. And this hit me like a ton of bricks. I hope I've instilled in my girls. See, you can try to fill so many buckets in your life. A success bucket. That's the wrong bucket. See, you can try to fill a pretty bucket. That's the wrong bucket. You can try to fill a pride bucket. We all know that's the wrong bucket. She was looking for the bucket that he was going to get this living water out of. Her focus was on the wrong thing. Church, we need to get our eyes off of the things of the world and the things that's in this world, and get our eyes focused back on the one thing that would help us, sustain us, to give us everlasting peace, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get our focus back on the right thing, and all of these things will be added to you. So if your household is going through some turmoil right now, get your mind right and get focused back on the right thing. Quit looking for the bucket and look at the well, because Jesus Christ is the well. And I thought of so many illustrations. Of what we try to do. Even I wrote down, and I want to do this, an acceptance bucket. How many of us in here have trouble with the acceptance bucket? We want people to accept us. We want to be part of the group, when that's the wrong bucket to be. Hey, Jesus Christ said, "You believe in me, and we'll all be like creatures." Amen? We'll all be accepted in the eyes of Christ. So don't try to fit in with the world. Just try to get down to business with Jesus Christ and things will work out. But see, but what I want you to think about and to strive for is I wrote down the things that are temporary. We try to fill our life with the things that are temporary and the things that we will do to get to that point. Y'all, the things that we will do to have a house. Think about that. Think about a nice house. You'll get up and go to work whatever time your work tells you to. You'll work extra hours for some extra money to have a nice home. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. But are you putting that same effort in serving Jesus Christ? See, my daughters, I'm proud of them. They've saved up and bought some things with their own money. I'm proud of that. They had to sacrifice for some things. But are you sacrificing that same? Are you working harder for things of this world than you are Jesus Christ? Listen to me. We will walk as far as we got to walk if it's something that we want. We'll run, we'll work, we'll even crawl, won't we? Listen, a little side note here, and this is for free. When somebody is trying to leave second base to get to third base, and they fall down, and they crawl faster than they run, you know they want to be at that base, amen? That happened. More than once, let me remind you. Get up, run, fall, crawl, get up, run, fall, crawl. That happened. He's got the scars to prove it. Why don't we do that in this world for Jesus Christ? Most of us, listen, y'all, when we fall down, and this is bad, God's given it to me, I didn't have this wrote down. When we fall down because we're trying to walk for Jesus, we get up and dust ourselves off and look and see who pushed us and wants to blame somebody else. Amen? I'm guilty. Because I wouldn't have failed on my own, would I? Well, maybe you'd be like Bryce. Your top part goes faster than the bottom part. Your arms go back. And you just go. That happens in our Christian walk. But you know what's different in our Christian walk than what Bryce did? Most of us ain't crawling nowhere. We're too prideful. Y'all, if I knew some people's name that was in this box right here would get saved, I'd crawl the length of this church 100 times over. Would you? For your loved ones, if their name's in this box. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Maybe you need to get in God's will. But we need to think about this. Jesus wasn't talking about the physical well. See, Jesus is the well. He's the one that's going to give you everlasting life. And even when you don't feel like, I want to show a hands right here in your Christian walk. It may be now, or it may have been 10 years ago. But in your Christian walk, I want you to be honest and faithful and true right here. Have you ever felt like you really don't, it was hard to feel Jesus? It was hard to feel Him. Anybody raise your hand? All over the place, amen. That's okay. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. God give me this, and this is amazing, really. In Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Listen now. It says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. I'm going to read that again. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Jesus was sitting at the table with the disciples. They didn't know who He was. When He broke the bread and blessed it, you know what? Hit their eyes. They knew Him. They knew Him. And then what happened? He eased on out. God, give me this illustration. A few years back, I taught Brianna how to swim. Now, let me tell y'all what. If y'all don't know,
Vanessa is terrified of the water. So that mama, her fear went to her daughter. Now, we had a pool. They'd come over, and let me tell you, if you ever seen somebody frailing away in the water, it was Brianna at that time. She was frail. So her and Belle would come over, and we'd be playing. Well, eventually, we was just playing, and we'd work and work and work. She learned how to swim. When I was teaching her how to swim, I had to get her in the water. That's salvation. You got to get in the water. Okay? You got to get in His will. That's the salvation. So I'm going to say the piano is where she got in the water at. Right? So she starts to swim. I tell you what, Brianna, come up here for a minute. It'll be better if you can see it. And it's better if we use her as an example because I'm talking about her. So, can you do swim motions? No, just kidding. Come on. So look, she just got in the water, right? Walk real slow, okay? So look, I'm saying, swim to me, Brianna. Swim to me. Come on. Keep coming. And look, as soon as she about to get here, come on, come on, come on, come on. She swims. And I grab her. And look, she turned. I said, look how far you swam. Oh, that's great, right? Well, look, that's not far. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to say, all right, do it again. Come on, come on. Now look what happened. Stop right there. Here's what happens with God. See, when you get saved, turn around. You can turn around. There's all of us in here. Y'all stood up and said on what day you got saved. You should think right now of how far you came from when you got saved. You shouldn't be the same person you was when you first jumped in the water. You should be different. But let me tell you what. If you want to be sanctified, set apart, that's what God calls us to be. See, you can't be right here with Jesus. Jesus is saying, come on, you got to come a little further. So what I'm saying is, if you can't feel Him, stop, turn around and look where you came from and to see how far it is, because He's telling you to come a little closer. Thank you, baby. He's telling you to keep coming. Keep swimming toward me. Keep trying to keep your eyes focused on me. And listen, you'll keep going away from where you was, and this gap will get bigger, but this gap is going to stay the same because we can never reach in this world where we need to be in Christ. But you know what? This thing getting on my nerves. Listen, you know what this gap is? What it takes? Grace. You know what this gap takes? Grace and faith. You got to keep going in that direction. So many times, see, Brianna was terrified. So many times, she'd want to hold on right here and try to reach me and never be able to reach Him. See, that's what a lot of us Christians are doing today. We're holding on to where we jumped in the water, and we ain't letting go and having faith and receiving that grace and going to where God's trying to take us. And you wonder why you're stuck in that rut of hurt and pain and just worldly stuff. We got to be swimming. I bet y'all would swim if y'all seen that picture of that shark when he was coming on top of the water. I bet y'all would be swimming in, wouldn't you? Yeah. You'd be calling on Jesus too. We have to listen to exactly what He says and do exactly, because see, so many times, listen, y'all, if He let us on this earth, and I know from experience, if He let us get so close to God and so wrapped up, you know what's going to happen? Some self-fulfillment's going to take place. Some arrogance is going to start to build up. We can't help it. So He's telling you, come on. Come on, you ain't there yet. I remember Brianna saying, I know you're moving. I know you're moving. I'd be like, I ain't moving. Come on, I ain't moving. Backing up the whole time. That's the way God is. God don't want you to be still. You hear me? God told her, I give living, everlasting life. But you got to follow me. He didn't say come. He said come to me, but He said follow me. That means He's going somewhere. Where are you going? What you doing? I want to turn over to Numbers. Because I told you had to do just what God said, right? Well, sometimes we get the result without doing what He says, but then we get the punishment. Because in Numbers, And I wanted to ask somebody I missed last week in Sunday school if they talked about this in any detail. In chapter 20, in verse number 8, God tells Moses, "Take the rod and gather thou assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth this water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" So Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. Stop, wait a minute. Now God just did a miracle from Moses, but did y'all catch what happened? He told Moses to start with, he said, "Speak, and the water will come out of the rock." So Moses got them all together, and he said, "You rebels, I'm going to bring you some water." And he hit the rock twice with his rod, and water came out. The end result was that water came out of the rock, whether he spoke it or whether he hit it. But he disobeyed God. And you know what happens next? Verse number 12, "The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, because ye believe not me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." They ain't going to get the blessing that I already was going to give them, because you didn't listen to exactly what I said to do. You did what you wanted to do and not what God said to do. That's what's wrong with the world today, because we're doing what we want to do and not what the Bible says. We're doing what they do. And see, and that's another thing that I want to preach on, and it may not be today, is so many times we try to blend in with the world and get knocked down by the waves and wonder why we keep getting knocked down, but we keep on trying to blend in and trying to make it. We're supposed to be different than the world. Do you know? If you know that, say amen. Amen. Listen, you know, let's see if I get this right. Metamorphosis, that's when a caterpillar changes to a butterfly, right? Right? Does a butterfly look like a caterpillar? Does a caterpillar look like a butterfly? Okay, does lost people look like saved people, and does saved people look like lost people? You better not be here saying I'm saved and you blending in with the lost. Because then you better check up, because that's exactly what Roy was talking about this morning, conviction. See, if you saved and you blended in with the lost, there's got to be conviction. And the conviction comes from God, and you better come to the altar and take care of it. I'm getting a little excited this morning, because I know for a fact there's people in here. I ain't saying you're trying to be something you ain't. I'm just saying we need change in our life. You live in a world where I'm saved, and you might be saved, but if you're trying to be something you ain't, you're going to be miserable your whole life. And God says, if you got me, you're going to be a new creature. That change took place in me, and I'm thankful for that. See, I'm going to ask you, are you burying your problems in the sand and hope they never come back to bite you? Are you going to the well? See, the well ain't just for making withdrawals. This well is to making deposits also. You need to take your problems. And I started to have us a big old 55-gallon drum that we could throw our problems in. But you know what God convicted me? He said, my altar is sufficient. You got problems in your life. You got problems with your marriage. You got problems with your kids. Come make a deposit at the well. See, that water, the water that Jesus said, the word that he used had two descriptive meanings in Hebrew. One of them is refreshing, ever refreshing. You need to be refreshed. Here's the place to do it. You've been trying to blend in with the world. Here's the place to get yourself set apart. See, this woman, she went to the well expecting just to get some water and to go on her normal day. Ain't you glad for that day, for God's divine intervention and divine appointment in your life? I believe for some of you, today is that divine appointment. You came here expecting just to sit in church. But God's offering you a drink of water that's going to refresh you or give you everlasting life. You going to drink from His cup today? You going to receive that blessing today? I challenge you. Don't focus on the wrong bucket. You better get in tune with Christ. And He'll give you that peace and that love of Christ that... See, she knew He was a Jew. Because people know you are a Christian. I had some more. But you know what? I feel like God's speaking to people's lives today. I want to ask you, is your heart's trouble? It may be trouble. You may be in God, the will of God, but you may be weary. But then also there may be some that's totally out of the will of God that needs some change. Let me tell you, when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it's a beautiful thing. When a sinner becomes a saint, it's an even more beautiful thing. Amen. Hey, if y'all will, please stand. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know why God gave me this message so clear. But I ask you, if He's speaking to you, get to this altar. I don't care if you've been here one time or you've been here 1,000 times. If the Holy Spirit is moving, you need to move. Christians, members, I don't care, people who's been here 100 times. God's telling you to move, and you say, well, I don't know what to pray about. It may be praying about the person beside you. I want you to just listen to the Spirit of God in His house today. As the music plays, this altar's open. I don't want to be a hindrance.